Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer.
Lord, we gather around your word this morning, seeking your message, your word for us today. Help us, O God, to understand what it is you are saying, to know what it is to speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask this as our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, so I've been driving in Cape Breton full time for about 8 years now, right? At the end of these 8 years, I have one simple question to ask. Does anyone know how to drive? Seriously, though, every time I go out, I see someone doing something they really should not be doing. And sometimes I believe it's honestly a miracle that people don't die every day on our roads. And they're all simple mistakes, common sense mistakes, in my opinion anyway. They're just simple laws of the road that people should be considering following them. Things such as, who has the right of way at a four-way stop? Now, Cape Breton is full of four-way stops. You'd think we would know this one for sure. But how often do we see someone trying to jump the line so that they can go first? I've seen people T-boned because of this. And you know those things they call on-ramps to get onto highways? You know, what are they for? They're to help you get up to speed so that you can merge onto the highway. But every time I'm out there, I see somebody trying to merge at between 60 and 80 kilometers per hour. That's not just dangerous, that's deadly. I mean, the traffic around you is doing 100 kilometers per hour. You should probably try to get to 100 kilometers per hour, because they give you nice long laneways to get up to speed. Someone could definitely get killed in those kinds of situations. And I'm sure at some point somebody will. There's things like using signal lights, shoulder checking your blind spots, putting away your cell phones. You know, when is it safe to do a right turn on a red light? And I'll give you a hint, it's not whenever you feel like it. There's many common driving practices, you know, that it seems like people just don't know. And there are days when I'm often afraid for my life on the road, because I don't know what people around me are going to do, all because of what I've seen happening over the last 8 years. There's a reason why these practices exist. There's a reason why most of these things are considered laws. And the reason is they save lives, right? Laws exist because they are seen to improve the safety and the lives of people. And they usually exist because at some moment in time, someone has done something and something happened. And we get all kinds of crazy things because of things people have done that seem like common sense. You know, when you go through the drive-thru and you get your cup of coffee, what does it say on the cup? This is hot, right? Now, that seems like pretty common sense, but why does it say hot? It says hot because someone went through a drive-thru, spilled it on their lap, and sued the company for millions of dollars. So now we have to be told that our coffee is hot. And what about those little silicon packets, you know, you get when you buy a purse or boots or shoes, you know, kind of something leathery? What does it say on those little packets? Do not eat. Now, there's a reason why they had to say do not eat. Someone probably tried to eat it at some point in time. And I don't know, I couldn't find a source, but probably sued the company for millions of dollars. We have a lot of silly things, silly laws, don't we? Some days you just have to look at the whole of the human race and think, how did we actually manage to get to the point where there's 7 billion of us, right? You think, with the mistakes we make over the years, there would have been a lot fewer of us, or we would have not lasted this long at all. I mean, you all know what I'm saying. You're smart people, right? I'm sure you don't do any of those things. As citizens of this planet, we have laws we need to follow. laws which protect ourselves and others from harm. And if we break these laws, we'll get in some trouble. But we can also hurt others, and often we can hurt them pretty seriously. And that's not something we ever want to do now, is it? I think we can all agree that we are citizens of this planet, and sure, there are some pretty different characters out there which make us wonder if there really are aliens. But for now, we'll just assume that we're all inhabitants of this planet. And so we all live by the same general rules which have been established here. But there's a challenge for those of us who call ourselves Christians. And that challenge is that we have a greater allegiance. So we have a claim on another kingdom as part of our heritage, but also, more importantly, part of our future. We are citizens of God's kingdom. So how we become citizens of the heavenly kingdom has some bearing on how we live our lives here. And so from our readings in Romans 8, Paul tells us about the impact laws have. Now, the first thing we need to be clear on is that Paul's not talking about the kind of laws that we might be expecting him to talk about. He's not talking about what you do at a four-way stop, if they had four-way stops back then. They probably didn't. But Paul is talking about our spiritual selves. He's talking about our religious laws. And this is a huge topic in the early church. Many leaders of the early church expected Christians, those converts to Christianity, to live a certain way. And because all of the leaders had come from the Jewish tradition, they had an expectation that converts would take on some of those Jewish practices, those Jewish laws. And those were the laws that they thought were most important because they picked and chose which ones they chose to follow, because they certainly didn't follow all of the Jewish laws. So Paul is watching all of this, and he's following the debate pretty closely. And whenever he gets the chance, he likes to throw his own opinion into the mix. So Paul was once an ardent supporter, a zealous supporter of Jewish religious laws, to the point where he was a hunter of early Christians because they didn't follow the laws. So if anyone knows the importance of following the laws, it's this guy. Paul knows the laws. Yet Paul, since his conversion to Christianity, he's not so concerned about laws anymore. Paul's really only concerned about one thing, and it boils down to a question: how is your relationship with Jesus? That's what Paul is most concerned about. It might seem like it's a little simple, but it's probably the most important question we can ask ourselves as Christians. How is your relationship with Jesus? If our relationship with Jesus is good or strong, then how we live our lives will be different than if we don't know him at all or barely know him. Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the laws of sin and death." The law of sin and death Paul is talking about is our own rules, our own laws about how we live. He's not talking about the laws of the nation, where lawyers and politicians set those rules. He's talking about how we govern ourselves. If we set our own rules for living, thus creating our own laws, then Paul would say we have chosen sin and death. Our laws that we create on our own, we make them with good intentions, but they're not going to match up with how God would have us live. Or as Paul says, as we would follow the laws of the Spirit of life. Paul goes on to say, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." God sent Jesus into the world as flesh and bones, just like us, so that he, that is God in Jesus, could condemn the sins of the world. And by condemning the sins of the world, God has opened up to us the opportunity to live our lives as he would have us live them. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Paul is encouraging his readers, his listeners in the early Roman church, and by extension us today, to come into a deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ, so that we may be people living according to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is how God speaks to us today. When we give our lives to Christ, God blesses us with the Holy Spirit, which is our direct connection to our Father in heaven. This is why it's so important for us to not just know Jesus in our heads, but to know him in our hearts. This is why it's so important for us to take on the practices in prayer which allow for the space to let God speak to us in our own lives. And we've been learning these practices here at Carmen for the last several months. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do these things. And in turn, we will become slaves of our flesh. You know, those laws of the flesh, which Paul tells us will lead to sin and death. No one wants sin and death. Even the people who don't know Jesus do not want sin and death in their lives. I know this because I talk to them. They want the sin out of their lives, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. They want it gone. But if they don't know Jesus, then how can they be set free to a life of hope only God can give? Knowing Jesus, knowing that we have a relationship with him, is the first step. Just like any other relationship, whether it's our marriage, our friends, our family, just like any other relationship, we have to work on making sure it's a healthy one. So what does a healthy relationship look like? It looks like people who love one another. There's open communication between the people. It means being willing to listen and to change if necessary to improve the relationship, if it's that important to us. Paul assures us that there is a benefit to having a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. He says in verses 10 and 11, "If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life in your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." God will give us life. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? And if we are open to God's guidance in our lives through our times of prayer, through our times of listening, God will show us how to get rid of the sin and get even closer to Jesus, which I guess could mean we get more life, greater life. Some of you may be thinking, well, God gave up speaking to us mere mortals a very long time ago because you've never heard him. But I can assure you, he still does speak. I've heard him speak in my life. I heard him speak to me this morning. I've heard him through my own personal prayer times. Through our Hearing God workshops, people in this church have heard him speak into their lives. God longs to speak with us. And why wouldn't he if he wants to be in relationship with us? Now think for a moment. What if your spouse never talked to you? Now I realize for some of you that would be like an amen. But what if they never, ever spoke to you? Your marriage is supposed to be your most intimate relationship you can have. But how can it be intimate if there's no communication, ever? Never any sharing? Now that wouldn't be much of a marriage, now would it? Wouldn't be much of a relationship. Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. A relationship which can be incredibly intimate. A relationship that can be close or maybe even closer than your relationship with your spouse. But as with any good relationship, there needs to be communication and sharing from both sides. And it happens. When we submit ourselves to Jesus, he will speak into our lives if we give him time to speak, if we listen. And in doing so, we grow closer, more intimate with the one who frees us from that life of sin and death. So whose laws do we live by? Do we live by the call of God in our lives, or do we live by the rules we have made up for ourselves? I'm going to encourage you to consider that question over the next few days or week, whatever. And as you think about it, consider who is in charge. Who has the best plans? Who knows the most about what happens in you and in the people around you? And once we've all considered those thoughts, maybe we can once again reconsider our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. As the one God sent into the world to set us free from sin and death, and also the one who will lead us to light and life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have shown us how to live a life free of the constraints this world has placed upon us. You've shown us how to live a godly life led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we ask you again to remind us today and this week how important it is to know you and to follow you. As we have our prayer times, may we be patient enough to listen for your voice as we seek your direction and your guidance. Jesus, help us to walk away from the life of sin and death and fully embrace the life God has in store for us. May your healing presence be among us this week. We ask in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.